present Pauline Jameson as Rose in Trelawney of the Wells by Arthur Wing Pinero. London, 1860.
Here you are, Mr. Abbott. I declare, I thought you'd forgotten me.
I began to fear I should never escape from the shop, Mrs. Mossop, ma'am. Just as I was preparing to clean myself, the whole barrel of Clerkenwell seemed to cry out aloud for potatoes.
No matter. You're still in time to help me set the table. Here we should be able to seat the 10 of them comfortably in here. It was kind of the Telfers to give the use of their apartment to save the cost of holding the ceremony at the Clown Tavern.
Did you let fall the word ceremony, ma'am?
Yes, Ablett, and a sad one. A farewell cold collation to Miss Trelawney.
I did hear a rumor, ma'am.
Oh, no rumor, but true. She's taking leave of us, the dear.
Oh, this will be a blow for the Wells, ma'am.
Indeed it will. The best juvenile lady the Wells has known since Mr. Phelps' management.
Report has it, a love affair, ma'am.
A love affair, indeed. And a poem into the bargain.
As well as waiting at table, ma'am, do you wish me to collect the liquid refreshments?
Oh, of course, Mr. Abbott, of course. The jugs are there.
Oh, is the beer to be bottled or draught, ma'am, on this occasion?
Draught for Miss Trelawney, invariably.
Oh, then draught it must be all round out of compliment. Oh, imagine never more to hear customers speak of Trelawney of the Wells, except as a pleasing memory. They do say it's a non-professional gentleman she's marrying, ma'am.
It is.
A name of lover?
Gower. Grandson of Vice-Chancellor Sir William Gower, Mr. Abbott.
You don't say, ma'am.
No father nor mother, and lives in Cavendish Square with the old judge and a great aunt.
Then Miss Trelawney quits the profession, ma'am, for good and all, I presume.
For good and all, Abbott. She played last night for the last time. The last time on any stage. Fancy retiring at the age of 19.
And when is the wedding to be, ma'am?
Oh, it's not yet decided, Mr. Abbott. In point of fact, before the Gower family positively agrees to the union, Miss T is to make her home in Cavendish Square for a short term, as the Gower's own expression, in order to habituate herself to the West End. They're sending their carriage for her this very afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Well, dare say the West End life has superior advantages over the profession in some respects, Mrs. Mossop.
When accompanied by wealth, Mr. Ablett.
Rebecca! Rebecca, my loved one!
I'm in here, Mr. Wrench. Now, what is it now?
I crave a favor, dear lady.
No, I've no time to waste. Now, what is it?
I stand in need of a little skillful trimming at your fair hands.
Oh, really, Mr. Wrench? Now, first it's patching a coat, then it's binding on an Inverness. And now, upon my soul, it's trimming your shirt cuffs. You know, sometimes I wish that top room of mine was empty.
And sometimes I wish my heart were empty instead of full of love for you, cruel Rebecca.
Now, I really will tell Mossop of you when he comes home. Oh, the impudence. here, give me your other hand. Hey, haven't you been to rehearsal this morning with the rest of them?
I have. And I've left my companions still toiling. My share in the interpretation of Sheridan's immortal work did not necessitate my remaining after the first act.
Another poor part, I suppose, Mr. Wrench.
Another. And tomorrow yet another, and on Saturday two others, all equally damnably rotten.
Ah, well, somebody must play the bad parts in this world, on and off the stage. There now, that's done. There's no more edge left to fray. We've come to the soft part.
Oh, dear. Shall I then disgrace the feast? Is my appearance too scandalously seedy?
Not it, my dear Tom.
Tell me, Becky. Miss Trelawney, do you think she'll regard me as a blot on the banquet?
She? Heavens, don't distress yourself. She'll be too excited to notice you.
Yes. Now I recollect she's always been that. Thanks, Becky.
Mrs. Mossop! Mrs. Mossop!
Whoever's that calling? Oh, it's Miss Parrot. Miss Parrot's arrived.
Jenny Parrot. Miss Jenny condescended to
Jenny,
come...
Jenny, indeed. Remember your manners, Mr. Wrench.
My apologies. Miss Imogen Parrot of the Olympic Theatre.
Yes, Ablett, put on your coat. You're not selling cabbages now. Step up, Miss Parrot.
Oh, be quick, Ablett. Here, let me give you a hand with your coat.
Mr. Rawney's leaving will make all the difference to the Wells. Season will terminate abrupt, and then the company will be out, Mr. Wrench. Out, sir.
Which will lighten the demand for the spongy turnip and the watery marrow, my poor Ablett.
Come in, dear Miss Imogen. Oh, to see you gliding up those stairs, it might be only yesterday that you lodged in my house.
Mrs. Mottus.
And in this very room you used to share with poor Miss Becker.
Ah, Wrench, how are you?
Thank you. Much the same as when you used to call me Tom.
Ah, but I've turned over a new leaf, you know, since I've been playing leads at the Olympics.
I'm sure my chairs don't need dusting like that, Mr. Wrench.
My way of showing homage, Mrs. M. Pray be seated, Miss Parrot.
Thank you.
To see you sitting there. Oh, Miss Imogen, I could fancy I'm looking at Undine again. Undine, the spirit
thought.
Of the waters.
Yes, what a
She's
thought.
Not changed in the least since the last time she appears at Undine. Has she, Mr. Ablett?
No. Or as Prince Camarel's a man in the pantomime. I never hope to see a prettier pair of limbs.
Mr. Ablett, that's quite enough. You better come along with me. We've got plenty to do.
We'll see you later, Jenny. Oh, beg pardon. Miss
I don't hear much of what is going on at the Wells in my present exalted position, Wrench. Are your abilities still unrecognized?
Still unrecognized. Still confined within the almost boundless and yet repressive limits of general utility man.
A thousand pities. And tell me, have you still the same wig you used to play your serious parts in? The one with the little ringlet?
I wear it tonight for the second time this week, in a part which is very serious. And very small.
It is still in existence, then.
And long will be, I hope.
How it used to amuse the gallery.
Oh, they still enjoy it. If you looked in this evening at 7:30, I'm done at 7:45. You would hear the same glad, rapturous murmur in the gallery when the presence of that wig is discovered. You know, Jenny... Oh, Miss Parrot. You know, if they gave up laughing at me now, I believe I'd miss it. I believe I couldn't spout my few lines in silence now. Besides, I often think those gallery boys are fond of me at heart.
Of course they are, Wrench. You cheer them, make their lives happier.
Tonight, by the way, I also assume that beast of a felt hat.
Oh, not the grey one with the wide brim and the imitation wool feathers.
I see you remember it. Well, that hat still persists in falling off. Always when I most wish it to stay put. Tonight I feel it will tumble off during one of Telfer's pet speeches. Oh, yes, and those yellow boots. I wear them tonight.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And the spurs at once for your satin petticoat. You recollect?
Recollect?
You would see those spurs, too, if you patronized our play tonight. And the red worsted tights. The thighs are a little thinner, a little more faded, a little more darned. Oh, yes, thank you. I'm still, as you put it, unrecognized.
I'm sure I didn't intend to hurt your feelings, Wrench.
You? You hurt my feelings? Nobody can hurt my feelings. I have no feelings.
Oh, don't go on so, Wrench. What about your plays? Are you trying to write any plays just now?
Trying? I'm doing more than trying to write plays. I am writing plays. I've written plays.
Well?
My cupboard upstairs is choked with them.
Won't anyone take a fancy?
Not a sufficiently violent fancy.
Oh, no, the speeches were so short and had such ordinary words in them. In the plays you used to read to me. No big opportunity for the leading lady, Wrench.
I strive to make my people talk and behave like real people.
I suppose you do.
To fashion heroes out of actual, dull, everyday men. The sort of men you see smoking cheroots in the club windows in St. James Street. And the heroines from simple maidens in muslin frocks. Naturally, the managers won't stand for that.
Of course not.
If they did, the public wouldn't.
Is it likely?
Is it likely? I wonder, Jenny.
Wonder? What?
Whether they would. I wonder about it so hard sometimes that that little bedroom of mine becomes a banqueting hall. And this lodging house, a castle.
Ah, here are the rest of the company, I imagine.
Oh, good Lord. Have I become disheveled?
Come away from that mirror, Wrench. Why, are you anxious to make an impression down to the last?
No, no, stop that.
No good you being sweet on Rose Trelawney any longer, surely.
What cats you all are,
cats! Oh, dear, how vulgar after the Olympics.
Get behind with these chairs, Mr. Wrench. There's a good fellow.
Oh, Miss Ferris. She looks heavenly, does Miss Trelawney. I was just taken in the aisle when she floated down the crescent on her lover's arm. There, I declare, I don't know which of you two is the prettier.
Ma'am, keep your place.
Oh, as you please, miss. Apparently you forget I used to serve you with vegetables. Oh, here come the gentlemen now.
Oh, my dear child.
Mr. Telfer, how nice to see you again.
I heard you were here. Kind of you to visit us. Welcome. I'll just put my hat down.
Imogen, my darling. A kiss for Ferdy, Gad.
Well, Gad, how goes it? How are you?
I'm hitting them hard this season, my darling. Tonight's Sir Thomas Clifford. They're simply waiting for my Clifford.
But who on earth is your Julia?
Mrs. Telfer goes on for it. A venerable stopgap. Absurd, of course. But we daren't keep my Clifford from them any longer.
You'll miss Rose Trelawney in business pretty badly, I expect, Gad.
She was to have done Rosalind for my benefit. Still, Miss Fitzhugh joins on Monday. I must pull her through it somehow. I would reconsider my bill, but they're waiting for my Orlando, waiting for it.
Imogen, my love, my life.
Good afternoon, Augustus.
She speaks. She hears me, but she ignores me. Me, Augustus Colpoise. Oh, Mr. Ablett, pray lend me one of those knives that I may end it all.
Oh, Mr. Colpoise. Oh, dearie, sir.
Colpoise is not nearly as funny as he was last year, Imogen. Everybody's saying so. We want a low comedian badly. Excuse me, my dear, but I must have a word with old Telfer.
Ah, Imogen, my love. At last we are alone.
Corpus, really. Behave yourself. Let me go. You're creasing my boa.
Oh, really, Mr. Corpus. You'll have to excuse me.
Oh, I'm sure I beg your pardon, Mrs. Telfer, ma'am.
Oh, come there, fellow. Ah, oh, Jenny Parrott. How is it with you?
Thank you, Mrs. Telfer, as well as can be. And you?
I'm obliged to you for this response to my invitation. It struck me as fitting that at such a time you should return for a brief hour or two to the old company of your associates.
Imogen!
Ah, and here I see is yet another come to greet you. I'll leave you, but we must have a little chat before you depart.
Imogen, dear old girl.
Well, well, Avonia.
Oh, it is jolly seeing you again. My, what a rig out. You're here to see Rose, of course. She'll be up directly. She's just downstairs taking a last look round at our room.
Avonia Bun, you've been crying.
No, I haven't. And if I have, I can't help it. Rose and I have chummed together all this season and part of the last, and oh, it's a hateful profession. The moment you make a friend, oh, look, here they come, Rose and her betrothed.
Oh,
isn't she a dream? And isn't he handsome? Well, I'll leave you to meet Arthur on your own. In any case, I wouldn't want Rose to know I've been crying.
Rose, dear Rose.
Just think of your journeying from the West to see my exit from Bryden Crescent. But you're a good sort. You always were. Let me introduce Mr. Gower. Mr. Arthur Gower, my betrothed. Miss Imogen Parrott. See, Miss Parrott of the Olympics.
I know, dearest. I've seen Miss Parrott as Jupiter and as... Oh, I forget the name. In the new comedy.
He forgets everything but the parts I play and the pieces I play in, poor child. Don't you, Arthur?
Yes. No. Oh, well, of course I do. How can I help it, Miss Parrott? Miss Parrott won't think the worse of me for that, will you, Miss Parrott?
Heavens, no.
I'm going to remove my bonnet. Do you wish to do the same, Imogen Parrott?
Thank you. I'll keep my hat on, Mrs. Telfer.
As you wish.
Arthur, why don't you go and talk to the boys? I haven't seen Miss Parrott for ages.
I will, my dear.
Come and sit down, Imogen. The carriage will be here in half an hour, and I've so much to say to you. What brilliant hits you've made at the Olympics. How lucky you've been.
Lucky? Me? What about you?
Yes. Isn't this a wonderful stroke of fortune for me? Fate, Jenny. That's what it is. Fate ordains that I shall be a fashionable lady instead of a popular but toiling actress. Mother often used to stare into my face when I was little and whisper, Rose, I wonder what is to be your fate. Poor mother. I hope she sees.
Your Arthur seems nice.
Oh, he's a dear. Very young, of course. Not much more than a year. Older than I. But he'll grow manly in time and have moustaches and whiskers.
This long, he says. How did you meet him, Rose?
He saw me at Blanche in the Peddler of Marseilles and fell in love.
Do you prefer Blanche to Celestine? Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, Imogen. You see, I got permission to introduce a song where Blanche is waiting for Raphael on the bridge. Oh, it has the loveliest words. Ever of thee I'm fondly dreaming.
Yes, I know it.
Thy gentle voice my spirit can cheer.
That's the one.
It was singing that song that sealed my destiny, Arthur declared.
Oh, I'm so happy for you, Rose.
At any rate, the next thing was he began sending me bouquets and coming to the stage door. Of course, I never spoke to him.
Of course not.
Poor mother brought me up that way, not to speak to anybody, nor look.
Quite right. And then?
Then Arthur managed to get acquainted with the Telfers. And Mrs. Telfer presented him to me. Mrs. Telfer has kept an eye on me all through. Not that it was necessary, brought up as I was. But she's a kind old soul.
And now, dear Rose, you're going to live with his people for a while, aren't you?
Yes, on approval.
Oh, you don't mean that.
Well, in a way, just to reassure them, as they put it. Oh, my dear, the Gowers have such odd ideas about theatres and actors and actresses.
Do you think you'll like the arrangement?
Oh, it'll only be for a little while. I fancy they're prepared to take to me. Especially Miss Trafalgar Gower.
Trafalgar?
Sir William's sister. She was born Trafalgar year and christened after it.
Now then, ladies and gentlemen, everything is prepared, and I do trust to your pleasure and satisfaction.
Oh, now, go on to the table, ladies and gentlemen.
Here comes the food. Oh, we are going to have a jolly time. Come along, everyone. Let's give a hand and sit it out.
Well, God bless you, my dear. I'm afraid I couldn't give up the stage, not for all the Arthurs.
But your mother wasn't an actress, Imogen.
No.
Mine was. And I remember her saying to me once, Rose, if you ever have a chance, get out of it.
The profession?
Yes. Get out of it, Mother said. If ever a good man comes along and offers to marry you and take you off the stage, seize the chance. Get out of it. Poor Mother. I hope she sees.
Ladies and gentlemen, I beg of you to be seated. Miss Trelawney will sit here on my right.
Thank you, Mr. Telfer.
On my left, my friend Mr. Gower will sit. Next to Miss Trelawney, who will sit beside Miss Trelawney?
I will.
Oh, no, do let me.
It must be a gentleman, Avonia. Oh. Now, if you two boys quarrel...
Please don't push me, Colboy.
Oh, my soul, Gan.
I know how to settle it. Tom Wrench?
Yes? Oh, thank you, Rose.
Mr. Gadd and Mr. Colpoy shall sit by me, one on each side.
Delighted, Mrs.
Now, there's plenty of everything. Now, just pass your plate and ask for anything you fancy.
Can I help you, Rose? Mr. Gower, how about you?
Telfer takes the chair you observe, Jenny. Why he more than myself, for instance?
Really, Ferdy, the Telfers have lent their room.
This stuffy room, that's no excuse. I repeat, Telfer has thrust himself into this position.
He's the oldest man present.
True. And he begins to age in his acting, too. His H's, scarce as pearls.
Oh, yes, that's shocking. Now at the Olympic, slip an H and you're damned forever.
Miss Barrett, my dear, follow the counsel of one who sat at many a good man's feast. Have a little air.
Thanks, Mr. Telfer.
Well... Fancy sitting down to table in my absence.
Mrs. Telfer, dear,
here's
your tea.
How is this, James?
We were pressed for time, Violette, my love.
I'm very sorry, Mrs. Telfer. We should have thought.
A strange proceeding.
Now then, my dear, a little chicken, I can recommend it, and a little ham, perhaps. Can I help anyone else while I'm about it?
Mr. Gower, Rose. The carriage is here.
Dear me. Before a single speech has been made.
Oh, Rose, do look.
Come here, Rose.
Oh, my dears, I'm in no hurry. I should see carriages often enough. Well, the time has arrived. I'm so sorry now.
The carriage is certainly 2 or 3 minutes before its time, Mr. Delmer.
2 or 3? The speeches, my dear sir. The speeches.
And the footman, a nice-looking young man with hazel eyes, says the carriage and pair can wait for a little bit. But they must be back by 3 to take their lady into the park.
Resume your seats, I beg. Ladies and gentlemen,
Wait, we're not ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, I devoted some time this morning to the preparation of a list of toasts.
He arranges the toast list.
Hush, Ferdy.
I now hold that list in my hand. The first toast that figures here is naturally that of the Queen. With my young friend's chariot at the door, his horses pawing restlessly and fretfully upon the stones, I am prevented from enlarging upon the merits of this toast. Suffice it. Both Mrs. Telford and I have had the honor of acting before Her Majesty upon no less than 2 occasions.
An old story.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you... Are your glasses charged? Good. I give you the Queen, coupling with that toast the name of Miss Violet Sylvester, my wife, Mrs. Telford. Miss Sylvester has so frequently impersonated the Queens of Tragedy that I cannot but feel that she is a fitting person to acknowledge her expression of loyalty. The Queen and Miss Violet Sylvester.
The Queen and Miss Violet Sylvester.
I thank you. I thank you for the favor with which you have received me.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends, members of the Wells, bumpers, I charge you. The toast I had next intended to propose was our immortal bard, Shakespeare, and I had meant myself to have offered a few remarks in response.
He does.
But with our friends' horses champing their bits, I am compelled, nay, forced, to postpone this toast to a later period in the day and to give you now what we may justly designate the toast of the afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, we are about to lose, to part with, one of our companions.
Order.
Be quiet, Vonia.
Our late mother, a actress herself, made familiar with the stage from childhood, if not from infancy, Miss Rose Trelawney, for I will no longer conceal from you that it is to Miss Trelawney that I refer. Miss Trelawney is the stuff of which great actresses are made. So much for the actress. Now for the young lady. Nay, the woman, the girl. Rose is a good girl, a good girl.
Yes, and I should like to hear anybody, man or woman...
She is a good girl and long will be remembered by her. As much for her private virtues as for the commanding authority of her genius. And now, what has happened to the expectancy and Rose of the fair state?
Good, Jennifer, good.
Forced.
I will tell you. A man has crossed her path. A man, but also a gentleman. That gentleman with the modesty of youth, for, as I may tell you at once, he is not a old man, comes to us and asks us to give him this girl to wife. And, friends, we have done so. Riches this youthful pair will possess, but what is gold? May they be rich in each other's society and in each other's love. May they, I can wish them no greater joy, be as happy in their married life as Miss Sylvester and I have been in ours. The toast is Miss Rose Trelawney, Mr. Arthur Garth. Mr. Garth?
How about 3 cheers, everyone? Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip. Hooray! Hip, hip. Hooray!
Miss Trelawney?
No, Mr. Telford. Let her be for a minute, James.
Mr. Gower, will you respond?
Ladies and gentlemen, I would I were endowed with Mr. Telford's flow of splendid eloquence.
Oh, no, no.
Well, I'm no orator, no speaker, and therefore cannot tell you how highly, how deeply I appreciate the compliment.
Oh, you deserve it, Mr. Glover.
All I can say is that
I regard Miss Trelawney in the light of a solemn charge. And I trust that if ever I have the pleasure of meeting any of you again, I shall be able to render a good, satisfactory
account
of the way, in which I have... Before I bring these observations to a conclusion, let me assure you that it's been a great privilege for you to meet me, to meet you, to have been thrown with a band of artists whose talents not only interest and instruct the more refined residents of the district, but whose talents...
Get him to sit down.
The fame of whose talents, I should say... The fame of whose talents have spread to regions... To quarters of the town. To quarters...
Sit down!
Eh?
You finished long ago. Sit down.
Thank you. I'm exceedingly sorry. Great heavens, how wretchedly I've done it.
Rose, my child.
Helper, my friends, boys, ladies and gentlemen, do you remember the song I sang in the Pedlar of Marseilles, which made Arthur fall in love with me? Ever of thee I'm fondly dreaming.
Shall we indeed, ever forget indeed.
It? Well, I know I shall dream of you, all of you, very often, as the song says. Don't believe that because I shall have married a swell and live in Cavendish Square, you and the old well, the dear old well.
The dear old well.
You and the old wells will have become nothing to me. No. Many and many a night you will see me in the theatre looking down at you from the circle. Me and my husband.
Yes, yes, certainly.
And if you send for me, I'll come behind the curtains to you and sit with you and talk of bygone times. These times that end to death.
Yeah.
And shall I tell you the moments which to me will be the happiest in my life? However happy I may be with Arthur, why, whenever I'm recognized by people and pointed out, people in the pit of a theater, in the street, no matter where, when I can fancy they're saying to each other, "Look, that was Miss Trelawney, you remember? Trelawney. Trelawney of the Well."
Trelawney of the Well.
Miss Trelawney, ma'am.
Yes, Mrs. Mossop.
The coachman says he can't wait any longer.
Come along then, Rose. We can't keep Great Aunt Trafalgar waiting for her carriage. Say your goodbyes, my dear.
Goodbye.
Oh, Rose.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, my dear.
Charles, would you close the window, please?
Quiet, isn't it?
Quiet. Arthur. Oh, Arthur. This dreadful half hour after dinner. It's been the same every evening for a whole month.
I know. Grandfather and Aunt Trafalgar must wake up soon. They're longer than usual tonight.
Sister Clara over there with her knitting and Captain the Phoenix. When they were courting, did they have to go through this?
Yes.
And now that they're married, they still endure it?
Yes.
And we, when we are married, Arthur, shall we?
Yes, I suppose so.
Frederick.
What's that?
Frederick, dear, wake up.
What happened?
You were tottering forward and I caught you.
Really, I deliberately placed myself in an upright position, dearest, to prevent myself dozing off.
How you alarmed me.
Must have been a very serious accident, Miss Trelawney.
Never mind. Come here and talk to me.
Oh, but...
Oh, do. Do sit down and let us have a jolly whisper. There. Thank you, Captain Fred. Go on, tell me something. Anything. Something about the military.
What if they wake? I know you want to get me into a row. Horrid girl.
Hark! The song I sang in the peddler. The peddler of Marseilles. The song that used to make you cry, Arthur. Raphael enters. Comes onto the bridge. The music continues softly. Raphael, why have you kept me waiting? Man, do you wish to break my heart? A woman's heart, Raphael!
Upon my soul, what a hideous riot, Trafalgar.
Rosier, I hope I have been mistaken. But through my sleep, I fancied I could hear you shrieking at the top of your voice.
Trafalgar, this is becoming impossible for you and me to obtain repose. And what's this I hear? It's not a street organ.
Undoubtedly. An organ in the square at this hour in the evening. Singularly out of place.
Well, does no one stir?
I'll see to it, Grandpapa.
Oh, don't stop it.
What are you sitting on the floor for, my dear? Have we no chairs? Do we lack chairs here, Trafalgar?
My dear Rose, come. This is quite out of place. Young ladies, do not crouch and huddle upon the ground.
Charles was just running out to stop the organ when I reached the hall, Grandpa.
You'd surely no intention, Clara, venturing yourself into the public street, the open square?
I meant only to wave at the man from the open door.
Oh, Clara, that would hardly have been in this.
In mercy's name, Trafalgar, what is happening to my household?
Oh, William.
Oh, there, my dear. Come and sit over here.
I know what is in your mind. Oh, my dear brother, be patient.
Patient?
Forgive me. I should have said hopeful. Be hopeful that I shall yet succeed in ameliorating the disturbing conditions which are affecting us so cruelly.
You never will, Trafalgar. I've tried.
Oh, do not despair already. I feel sure there are good ingredients in Rose's character. In time, William, we shall shape her to a fitting wife for our rash and unfortunate offer.
I doubt it.
In time, William. In time.
At least, dear sister, I am perfectly aware that I possess in you the woman above all others whose example should compel such a transformation.
Oh, brother, what a compliment.
And now, before Charles sets the card table, don't you think we had better... Trafalgar?
Yes. Our disagreeable duty. Let us discharge it. Rose?
Yes, Miss Gower?
Come over here, my dear. Be seated. The Vice-Chancellor has something to say to us. Let us all be seated.
Yes, Aunt Trafalgar.
Are you seated?
Yes.
What I desire to say is this. When Miss Trelawney took up her residence here, it was thought proper, in the peculiar circumstances of the case, that you, Arthur, you...
Yes, sir?
That you should remove yourself to the establishment of your sister Clara and her husband in Holly Street, round the corner.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Grandpa.
Certainly, Sir William.
Taking your food in this house and spending other certain hours here, under the surveillance of your great-aunt Trafalgar.
Yes, William.
This was considered to be a decorous and, towards Miss Trelawney, a highly respectful course to pursue.
Yes, sir.
Any other course would have been out of place.
And yet, what is this that is reported to me?
I don't know, sir.
I hear that you have on several occasions at night, after having quitted this house with Captain and Mrs. De Phoenix, been seen on the other side of the street, your back against the railings, gazing up at Miss Trelawney's window. And that you have remained in that position for some considerable space of time. Is this true, sir?
Yes, Sir William. Perfectly true.
I venture to put a question to my grandson, Miss Trelawney.
Yes, sir. It is quite true.
Then, sir, let me acquaint you that these are not the manners of a gentleman.
No, sir.
No, sir. They are the manners and the practice of a troubadour.
A troubadour in Carriage Square? Oh, quite out of place.
I'm very sorry, sir. I,
I never looked at it in that light.
Pish, pish, pa.
But at the same time, sir, I dare say, of course, I don't speak from precise knowledge, but I dare say that there were a good many...
A good many what, sir?
A good many very respectable troubadours, sir.
And what I wish to say, Sir William, is this. I wish to avow, to declare before the world that Arthur and I have had many a lengthy interview while he has been stationed against those railings out there. Oh, I'm murmuring to him softly from my bedroom window, he responding in tremulous whispers.
You tell me such things.
The square in which we have resided for years, our neighbors...
The character of my household.
Again, I'm extremely sorry, sir, but... These are the only confidential conversations Rose and I now enjoy.
And what about you, Captain the Phoenix, an officer and a gentleman?
Well...
And you, Clara.
Grandpa.
This could scarcely have been without your cognizance, without, perhaps, your approval.
I've brought the card table, Sir William.
Put it in the alcove, Charles, as usual. Thank you. The card table, to be sure. Come, William. A rubber will comfort you, soothe you. Come, Clara.
Pish,
sir,
pish.
Infamous.
Be calm, Rose, dear, be calm.
Tyrannical, diabolical, I cannot endure it.
You mean well, dear.
Oh, I'm so angry I could scream.
They're rather old-fashioned people.
Old-fashioned? They belong to a time when men and women were put to the torture. I am being tortured, mentally tortured, cruelly.
They have not many more years in this world.
Nor I at this rate many months more. They're killing me, like Agnes in the Spectre of St. Ives. She expires in the fourth act as I shall die in Cavendish Square, painfully, of no recognized disorder.
And anything we can do to make them happy.
To make the Vice-Chancellor happy? I won't try. I will not. He's a fiend, a vampire.
Rose, dear, hush.
He's left his snuff box. I wish I could poison his snuff as Lucretia Borgia would have done. She would have removed him within 2 hours of my arrival. I mean, her arrival. And here he sits and lectures me. And it takes to me, to Miss Trelawney.
I ventured to put a question to my grandson, Miss Trelawney. Bah, pish, da, pish. Have we no chairs here? Do we lack chairs here, Trafalgar?
What's the matter? Rose, dear. Pinch your upper lip.
Can't you be quiet? We're trying to play whist.
Rose, Rose, young ladies do not sneeze quite so continuously.
Captain De Phoenix, it is your deal, and I will thank you to exercise your intelligence this evening to its furthest limits.
Oh, twice, sir.
Last evening, if I remember.
Poor Frederick had toothache, Grandpa.
Whist is whist, Clara, and toothache is toothache. We will keep the two things distinct, if you please.
Your introduction was hardly in place, Clara, dear. Oh, really?
What form?
A Miss Deal.
Oh, Frederick.
Captain the Phoenix.
I'm frightfully sorry, sir.
Miss Trelawney.
I think I'd better, what do you call it? Withdraw for a few moments.
Then kindly do so. Try again, the Phoenix.
Arthur, where are you going?
I beg your pardon, Aunt.
Really, Arthur?
Quiet, Trafalgar. Are we playing whist or are we not?
Oh, forgive me, William. It's your leave, Clara.
Arthur, be so kind as to find my snuff box and pass it to me.
Certainly, sir. It's over here on the bureau.
Keep your voice down, sir. We're playing whist. There. My trick, I think.
No, William.
No?
I played a trump.
Yes, sir. Aunt Trafalgar played a twum. The seven.
I will trouble you, Captain De Phoenix, not to echo Miss Gower's information.
Very sorry, sir.
It was a little out of place, Frederick.
Quiet, woman. Do you not know the meaning of the word whist?
Here you are, sir.
What? Oh, my snuff box. I'm obliged, Arthur. Much obliged.
You to play, William. William, dear.
One moment. Unless my ears deceive me, that is...
I'll go and tell her, sir.
No, no. Let her go on, I beg. Let her continue. We will suspend our game while this young lady practices her cadenza.
William?
I fear this is no longer a comfortable home for you, Trafalgar. No longer the home for a gentlewoman. I can see that in these days my house approaches closely to a madhouse. And this was supposed to be a soothing game of whist!
Rose!
You've upset my grandfather.
Miss Trelawney, how dare you do anything so out of place?
Well, after all, there is a piano in there, Miss Gower.
But you are acquainted with the rule of this household. No music while the Vice-Chancellor is indoors.
There are so many rules. One of them is that you may not sneeze.
Ah! You must never answer back.
Yes, that's another rule.
Oh, for shame.
You see, Aunt Rose is young, and you make no allowance for her. Give her no chance.
Go on. What is this you are accusing me of, sir?
I don't think the rules of this house are fair to Rose. Oh, I must say it. They're horribly unfair.
Brother!
Leave this to me, Trafalgar. So, sir, so you deliberately accuse your great aunt of acting towards you and Miss Trelawney mala fide?
Grandfather, what I intended to say...
I will afford you the opportunity of explaining that downstairs at once in the library. Captain De Phoenix, you and Clara will do me the favor of attending in the hall in readiness to take this young man back to Holly Street. Come, Trafalgar. And you, Arthur, will oblige me by following us. So.
Good night, dear. Oh, good night. Oh, Rose.
Arthur!
I'm coming, sir. Coming.
Frightfully sorry about this, Miss Trelawney.
Thank you, Captain Fred.
Never mind, my dears. We will continue to let Arthur out at night as usual. I am a married woman, and a married woman will turn if you tread on her often enough. Come, Frederick. Good night.
Good night, Miss Rose.
Miss Rose.
What is it, Charles?
I'll see Sir William and the rest descend the stairs. I've been waiting the chance of handing you this, Miss Rose.
Oh, it's damp.
Yes, miss. A gentle little shower has been taking place outside.
Why, it's a note from some of my friends.
Professionals, miss?
Yes.
I was reprimanding the organ, miss, when I observed them propping up the railings opposite, examining our premises, and they ventured to beckon me.
They want to speak to me about something of an important nature. Charles, you're the only one on duty this evening, aren't you?
Yes, miss. Mr. Briggs is sleeping out tonight.
Splendid. Then when Sir William and Miss Gower have retired, could you let me out and then wait at the front door while I run across and speak to my friends?
For you, miss? Certainly.
If it reached the ears of Sir William or Miss Gower, you would lose your place, Charles.
I'm aware of that, miss. But Sir William was extremely rude to me during dinner over that mishap to the entree. That sounds like him now, miss. Excuse me, miss.
I wonder if I can see them from the window.
Oh, yes, they're waving back. The dears, the darlings, the faithful creatures. They're getting soaked.
Ah, Rose, I came to tell you that the Vice-Chancellor has felt the few words he has addressed to Arthur and has retired for the night.
Yes, Miss Gower.
Mercy on us, what weather. Go to bed, child, directly. We will all go to our beds, hoping to awake tomorrow in a meeker and more submissive spirit. Good night. Don't omit to say your prayers, Rose, and in a simple manner. I always fear that coming from your peculiar training, you may declaim them. That is so out of place and rather indelicate.
Yes, Miss Gower.
I'm now at liberty to accompany you round the house, madam.
Thank you, Charles. But tonight I must ask you to see to the locking up alone. Storm, so very seasonable. But from girlhood, I could never stand thunder and lightning. Good night.
Well, Charles, that's got rid of Miss Gower. She's retired to bed. So she tells me, had Sir William.
Yes, miss. But in this weather, I should hardly advise you to venture out, miss.
Out? Oh, no, you must bring my friends in.
In, Miss Rose? Indoors? Here?
Certainly, they're my friends. Is it a rule that I'm never to see a friend, that I mayn't even give a friend shelter in a violent storm? Are you the only one up?
I believe so, miss. Anyhow, the women servants is quite under my control.
Then let in, my friends, and tell them to be deathly quiet and creep on tiptoe. Or make haste, Charles, before they're all drowned.
Very good, Miss Rose. I'll tell them to be quiet.
Of course they must come in. After all, they're my friends. Oh, really, this house. I'm not to sneeze, nor to sing, nor to breathe next. What are ye sitting on the floor for, my dear? Have we no chairs? Do we lack chairs here, Trafalgar?
Hush, miss. Not so much noise, miss.
Oh, what a noise.
Here they are. I found them huddled in a doorway.
Oh, Jackie. Oh, what a storm.
Oh, Rose, darling.
Oh,
Melody.
Rose, dear heart.
Augustus Colthorpe.
Well, here we are again.
Tom Rent.
Hello,
oh,
Rose.
How lovely to see you all. Take off your wet pinks.
Shall I take your umbrella, miss?
Oh, thank you very much, I'm sure.
I'll place it in the hall, miss.
Well, what a lovely surprise for me.
It's a shame to come down on you in this way, but they would do it, and I thought I'd better stick to them.
Oh, I'm glad you did. Listen, all of you, everyone's gone to bed, so you must be as quiet as mice.
Oh,
you see, I'm not sure I'm allowed to receive visitors. Oh. I mean, such late ones.
Oh, yes, it is late-ish, but I did so want to inform you. Allow me to introduce my husband.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, dearie. Ferdy and I were married yesterday.
Yesterday morning. Mrs. Dad and I are on our honeymoon now.
Well, you know, the well shut a fortnight after you left us, and neither Ferdy nor me could fix anything just for the present elsewhere. And as we hadn't put by for the season, you know, it never struck us to put by during the season, we thought we'd get married. Oh. You see, a man and his wife can live almost on what keeps one.
That's true.
And so, being deeply attached, as I tell you, we went off to church and did the deed. Oh, it will be such a save.
Oh, I hope you'll both be very happy. You might have written and told me, though.
Oh, my dear Rose, you remember the weeks it takes me to write a letter. And so I said to Ferdy, and over to you, Ferdy, let's spend a bit of our honeymoon in doing the West End thoroughly and going to see where Rose Trelawney lives. And we thought it only nice and polite to invite Tom Wrench and Gus.
Avonia, less of the Gussie.
Jealous? Naughty, naughty.
Well, anyway, we've done the West End. I've never done the West End so thoroughly in all my life. And then we got outside your house and I couldn't resist. Oh, Ferdy, your sleeve's quite damp. I'm sure you'll catch your death, my darling.
I think I can get some wine. Will you take some wine, Ferdy?
Anything.
Well, anything that goes with stout, dear.
Well, now, I shan't be a minute. While I'm gone, be very quiet, remember?
Oh, trust us.
How convenient. Cards. Gad, I'll see you for pennies.
Done, sir. With you.
You're very quiet, Tom. What are you thinking about?
I was thinking this is the kind of room I want for the second act of my comedy.
Oh, Dor, can't you ever think of anything else? Half this blessed evening.
I tell you, I won't have doors stuck here, there, and everywhere. Oh. No, nor windows in all sorts of impossible places.
Really? Well, when you do get your play accepted, mind you see the manager gives you exactly what you ask for, won't you?
Yes. I will. Windows on the one side, doors on the other, just where they should be architecturally, and locks on the doors. Real locks that work and handles that turn. Just you wait and see.
Just put the tray down there, Charles. That'll be all, thank you. I'll let them out myself.
Very good, Miss Rose.
Now then, here we are. Sherry, anybody?
Sherry? Just a drop for me, thanks.
Tom, won't you?
No, thank you. The fact is, I... In fact, we've already partaken of refreshments once or twice during the evening.
Why, then let an actor drink.
And let me the canakin clink, clink, and let me the canakin clink.
You must be quiet, Ferdy.
I give you a toast. The bride.
Yes. The bride.
My bride.
The bride.
Well, Rose, my darling, we've been talking about nothing but ourselves since we came in. How are you getting along here?
Getting along? Oh, I don't fancy I'm getting along very well, thank you.
Not getting along?
Not?
Not getting along?
No. The truth is, it isn't as nice as you'd think it. I suppose the profession had its drawbacks. My mother used to say so, but one could fly.
Fly, ducky?
In Brighton Crescent, I may have only been a dirty little London sparrow, but here in this grand square, I'm afraid it's the story of a caged bird all over again.
Oh, I love birds, though.
Poor Arthur. Yes, he's a dear, but the Gowers! The old Gowers!
Who do you mean by the Gowers?
Old Sir William and great Aunt Trafalgar, of course. You'll not believe this, but it's the truth.
I mayn't walk out with Arthur alone, nor see him here alone.
What?
I mayn't sing, nor sneeze even.
Not sing?
Nor sneeze?
No, nor sit upon the floor.
Why, when we shared rooms together, you were always sitting on the floor.
In heaven's name, what kind of a house can this be?
Oh, I wouldn't stand it. Would you, Ferdinand?
Heaven, no.
Would you, Gus, dear?
Avonia, not so much of the Gus, dear.
Oh, well, Gus, would you?
No, I'm blessed if I would, my darling.
Mr. Corpoise, less of the my darling.
Look, Rose, don't you put up with it. You're an independent girl, dear. They came to you, these people, not you to them, remember?
I know, but what can I do? I can't do anything.
Oh, can't you? Gussie, you advise her. You tell her.
Miss Bunn. Oh. Mrs. Gadd, you have been gussying all over Mr. Colpoise this evening ever since...
Oh, don't be so silly.
Don't you push me, madam.
Oh, Gus, Ferdinand's being foolish. Come and talk to Rose and advise her. There's a dear boy.
Dear boy, indeed. Oh. Take that, Colpoise. You miserable viper.
How dare you, sir. How dare you.
Where should we go?
I don't know.
Oh, it's too late.
Miss Trelawney, who are these people?
Some friends of mine who used to be at the Wells have called on me to inquire how I'm getting on.
Rose.
Arthur, what are you doing here?
I was outside the house, sir. Charles, knowing something was wrong, let me in.
Troubadouring, eh?
Yes, sir, troubadouring. Rose, what is all this about?
No, sir, this is my affair. I can answer your question. Some friends of that young woman's connected with the playhouse have favored us with a visit for the purpose, or so she says, of ascertaining how she is getting on.
William, what are those wine glasses doing there?
Ah, hark! It is clear we interrupted a drunken debauch. Leave my house! A set of garish, dissolute gypsies, that's what they are. Out of my house at once, the pack of you.
We don't want to remain where we are not heartily welcome, I can assure everybody.
A disgraceful affair altogether, Miss Trelawney.
Oh, goodbye, Rose, my dear.
No. No, Bonia. Don't leave me behind you.
Oh, Rose. Rose, my dear.
Oh, I'm sorry, Arthur, indeed. I am very sorry, Sir William. But you're right. Gypsies. Gypsies.
Oh, never,
yes,
Rose.
Arthur, if you were a gypsy as I am, as these friends of mine are, we might have been happy together. But I've seen enough of your life, my dear boy, to know that I'm no wife for you. I should only be wretched. It will make you wretched, too. And the end, when it came, as it very soon would be much as it is tonight.
You let me see you, talk to you tomorrow, Rose?
No, Arthur, never again.
Do you mean that?
Oh, don't be afraid, Sir William. I give you my word. Never.
Thank you. Thank you.
Avonia? Boys? I'm ready.
Then come along, my
not
dear.
Not tonight, child. Not tonight. Where will you go?
To our old quarters in Brighton Crescent. Send her things after her, if you please.
And then? Then back to the Wells again, Miss Gower. Back to the Wells.
Yes, back to the Wells. Back to the Wells. There. That's her bed made. Now then.
Rose.
Hey, who wants her?
Oh, is Miss Trelawney there in the room, Mrs. Mother?
No, Mrs. Gadd. She's at rehearsal.
Oh. Oh, of course. I forgot. There's a call for the Peddler of Marseille. Oh, thank God I'm not in it. I'm a great guru chief. I'm a robber Anderson. I could never kill a fool or prig or pocket Anderson.
You're very gay this morning, don't you?
Oh, it's the pantomime. I'm always stark mad at the pantomime approaches. Let the rest of the company have their fling at other times. With the panto comes my turn. Oh, I hope Miss Trelawney comes straight home after rehearsal. I want to borrow her gilt belt. My dress has arrived.
Go on,
Cathy. Mrs. Burrows is coming down from the theatre at 12:30 to see me.
Good. Well, the room looks as cheerful and clean as I can make it for the poor dear.
If only Rose didn't have to economize. That's what I can't get over. One room on the second floor is a shame.
Mrs. Gadd, dear Ina, no one could accuse me of being the least inquisitive. But I should like to know just one thing. Why have they been and cut down Miss Trelawney's salary at the Wells?
Well,
It's common knowledge at the theatre. They tell her she can't act now.
Can't act?
No. They say she's lost the trick of it. It's, gone from her.
Oh, dear.
Hello, Mrs. Trotton.
Hello.
Tom Wrench, what have you got there? My first floor table cover.
Yes. I thought as the Telfers have departed and as their late sitting room is at present vacant, that Miss Trelawney might enjoy the benefit of its gay pattern.
Huh? Well, why not? Oh, I'll have to go and look out another one to replace it.
Tom, I say, I wonder if I've done wrong.
It all depends on whether you've had the chance.
Well, I've told Mrs. Mossop the reason they've reduced Rose's salary.
Oh, Vernie, I shouldn't have done that. Anyway, it isn't true.
Well, I know that. Still, since she's returned from Cavendish Square these 6 months back, she has been different.
Oh, yes, she's been reserved, subdued, and so on. Ladylike.
Oh, she was always ladylike.
She was always a ladylike actress, on the stage and off it. And now she's developed into a ladylike human being. Deep down in the well of that girl's nature, there's been lying a little bright, clear pool of genuine refinement, girlish simplicity. Now the bucket has been lowered by love, experience has turned the handle, and sure enough, up has come the crystal to the top, pure and sparkling. Why, her broken engagement with poor young Gower has really been the making of her. It's transformed her. Can't act, can't she? How she would play Dora in my comedy.
Oh, Tom, dear, not that comedy again.
How she would murmur those love scenes.
Murder.
Murmur. Do you know, Vernier, I had Rose in mind when I imagined Dora.
You astonish me.
And Arthur Gower when I created Gerald, Dora's lover. Gerald and Dora. Rose and Arthur. Bonia, can you keep a secret?
Mm-hmm.
I know where Arthur Gower is.
Is? Isn't he still in London?
No. I have a letter from him here. It's headed Theatre Royal Bristol Friday.
Theatre Royal...
Listen to what he says. My dear Mr. Wrench, a whole week and not a line from you to tell me how Miss Trelawney is. When you are silent, I'm sleepless at night and a haggard wretch during the day. Young Mr. Kirby, our walking gentleman, has been unwell, and the management has given me temporarily some of his business to play.
Arthur?
Don't interrupt. Last night, I was allowed to appear as careless in School for Scandal. Miss Mason, the Lady Teasle, complimented me, but the men said I lacked vigor. The old cry. And so this morning, I'm greatly depressed. But I will persevere as long as you can reassure me that no presuming fellow is paying attention to Miss Trelawney. Oh, how badly she treated
me. Here, let me see that. How badly she treated me. I will never forgive her, only love her, and hope that someday I may become a great actor and, like herself, a gypsy. Yours very gratefully, Arthur Gore.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur, in the profession?
Yes, bolted from Cavendish Square, went down to Bristol.
Well, how does he manage it all?
With a little assistance from your humble.
But isn't Rose to be told? Well, why shouldn't she be told?
Oh, she's hurt the boy, stung him to the quick, and he's proud.
Oh, but she loves him now that she believes that he's forgotten her. She only half loved him before. Oh, she loves him.
Serve her right.
Oh, Tom, is she never to know?
Yes. Someday, when he begins to make strides.
Strides? He's nothing but general utility at the moment.
True.
And how long have you been that?
10 years.
Yes, she ought to be told. Still, I gave you my word.
Here she comes now.
Ah, visitors. Oh, hello.
Good morning.
Oh, look. Doesn't this table cover brighten the place up?
Mrs. Mossop asked me to bring it upstairs. It was in the Telfer's room, you remember.
Oh, how good of her. Poor Mr. and Mrs. Telfer. They still wander mournfully about the wells. They can get nothing to do.
The Telfers? She's been giving them money.
I'm afraid so.
What are you two saying about?
I was wondering whether you would lend me that belt you bought for Ophelia to wear during the first 2 or 3 weeks of the pantomime, just until I can fake one of my own.
Bonia, I'll make you a present of the belt if you'll accept it.
Oh, you are a sweet dear.
I bought it when I came back to the wells, thinking everything would go on as before, but it's no use. They told me I cannot act effectively any longer.
Effectively? Oh, Rose, they're mad, blind.
Thank you, Tom. First, as you know, they reduced my salary, and now this morning, can't you guess?
Not your notice.
Yes.
Oh, no.
I was running through Blanche, my old part in the peddler, when Mr. Burrows took me aside and spoke to me. It's true,
I was doing it tamely, but, oh, it's such nonsense.
Here, here.
And then I told Mr. Burroughs that I should cut out that song I used to sing, Ever of the Unfondly Dreaming. Oh, so ridiculously inappropriate.
And that did it?
That did it.
But, Ducky, there are other theatres besides the Well.
For me? Only those where the same trash is performed.
But only a few months ago, you liked your work.
Yes. And then I went to Cavendish Square and gazed to Arthur. Poor Arthur. How badly I behaved. How unlike a young lady. What if the old folk were overbearing and tyrannical? Arthur could be gentle with them. There was a chance for me to be patient and womanly. And what did I do? I'd prove to them that I was nothing but an actress.
It doesn't follow that because one is an actress, one cannot be a lady.
Yes, Bonnier, it does. We're only dolls, partly human, with mechanized limbs that will fall into stagey postures and heads stuffed with sayings out of rubbishy plays.
Oh, yes,
it yes. It isn't the world we live in, merely a world. Such a queer little world. I was less than a month in Cavendish Square, and very few people came there, but they were real people. Real. For a month, I lost the smell of gas and oranges and the hurry and noise and the dirt and the slang and the clownish joking at the Wells. I didn't realize it until I came back. And then by degrees I discovered what had happened. Oh, Tom. Oh, Vernia.
Look, cheer up, dear. Look, I know. How about you coming and helping me to try on my dress to show Mrs. Burroughs?
It's a good idea, Rose. Off you go, both of you.
Tom, haven't you a fire down in your room today?
No, not today. It's Saturday. I never have a fire on Saturday.
Why ever not?
I don't know. Creature of habit, I suppose.
Well, while I'm upstairs with Vonia, if you'd care to stay and smoke your pipe by my fire, you're most welcome.
Thanks, Rose.
Come along, Rose.
Yes, I'm coming.
Yes, come in. Jenny Parrott. I mean Imogen. Come in.
Mrs. Mossop said you were in Rose's room.
Well, she'll be back in a few minutes.
Oh, it's you I want. Oh, may I sit down?
But do. What's up?
Oh, Tom, perhaps my fortune's made.
What are you talking about?
Well, it's like this. Things haven't been going at all satisfactorily at the Olympic lately. Oh, there's that Miss Puddiford.
I know. No lady.
Oh, quite right. And... oh, a thousand other petty annoyances. Well, at last I took it into my head to consult Mr. Clandon, who had married an aunt of mine and lives in Streatham. And he'll lend me £500.
What for?
Towards taking a theatre.
Oh, 500, isn't
it? Well, it's all he's good for, and he won't advance that unless I can get a further 500 or 800 from some other quarter.
What theatre?
Well, the Pantheon happens to be empty.
Well, it's been there for the last 20 years.
Oh, don't throw wet blankets. I've got it all worked out in black and white. Now here we are. Listen, Tom. There's a deposit required on account of rent, £200. Cleaning the theatre, what would you say?
Cleaning that theatre?
Well, I'd say another 200.
Mm, that'd remove the top layer.
Cost of producing the opening play, £500. Balance for emergencies, 300. You generally have a balance for emergencies.
Yes, you generally have the emergencies, if not the balance.
Now, the question is, will £500 produce the play?
What play?
Your play. Your comedy.
Oh, rubbish.
Oh, well, Mr. Clandon doesn't think it is. I gave it him to read, and well, he's quite taken with it. So you grasp the position. Oh. Theatre, manageress, author, play found, and £800 wanted.
Oh, Lord.
I've got it. Remember old Mr. Morphew of Duncan Terrace?
Yes.
He used to take a great interest in us all at the Wells. He had money.
Well, then what are you waiting for? Off you go to Duncan Terrace this minute.
The thing is, you may have to read your play to Mr. Morphew. Have you another copy?
Well, I think I have. I don't know. I think I have.
Well, look for it. Find it. If Morphew does want to hear it, we must strike while the iron's hot.
Oh, let's hope you mean while the gold's hot. Off you go, Jenny, and good luck.
Excuse me, Mrs.
Morphew. My, but she's in a hurry, isn't she?
Yes, yes.
Where's Miss Trelawney?
She's upstairs with Mrs. Gadd. Why?
Well, there's a visitor for her.
Well, I'll call her. Rose, can you come down a minute? Mrs. Mossop, those apartments vacated by the Telfers, don't you dare let them without giving me the preference.
You? But you have a room already.
Well, mayn't a man better himself. I may yet be wealthy, sweet Rebecca.
Ah, that I'll believe when it happens, Mr. Wrench.
Did you call?
Oh, yes, Rose, you have, it appears, a visitor.
It's Sir William Gower.
Oh.
Sir William? To see me?
How much longer am I to be kept waiting? My mind is not commonly a wavering one, Miss Trelawney, but it has taken me some time, months, to decide upon calling on you.
Well, won't you sit down? Thank you, Mrs. Mossop. If I require anything, I'll call you.
As you wish, Miss Trelawney. Oh,
pray excuse me also. I have to look through some of my things.
Well, Sir William, now that you are here, what can I do for you?
My grandson. Where is he?
Arthur?
I had but one.
Well, isn't he in Cavendish Square?
No, he isn't in Cavendish Square. As well you know.
But I don't know. When did he leave?
He made his escape during the night of the 22nd of August last, as you know well.
Sir William, I assure you...
How often does he write to you?
He does not write to me. He did write day after day, two or three times a day for about a week. That was in June when I came back here. He never writes now.
Visits?
No.
Comes troubadouring?
No. I haven't seen him since that night. I refuse to see him. He may be...
Ah, but he's not. He's alive. Arthur's alive and full of his tricks still. His great-aunt Trafalgar receives a letter from him once a fortnight, posted in London.
You have the letters there? Oh, let me see them. Thank you. To reassure you of my well-being, I will have this posted in London by a friend.
You, as like as not.
He would never call me that. I'm in bodily health and as contented as a man can be who has lost the woman he loves and will love until his dying day.
Read no more. Return the letters to me, ma'am.
Here you are, Sir William.
I see you're changed. Not so much of a vixen as you were.
No.
Less of the devil?
Sir William, I'm sorry for having been a vixen and for all my unruly conduct in Cavendish Square. I humbly beg your and Miss Gower's forgiveness.
An extraordinary change, indeed.
Aren't you changed, Sir William, now that you've lost him?
I?
Don't you love him now the more?
From the look of this room, the gypsying don't seem to be such a good trade with you, my dear, as it used to be, by all accounts.
Yes. As you've noticed, fortune has turned against me, rather. They say at the theatre that I can no longer act since I returned there after my month in Cavendish Square. They may well be right. At any rate, as from today, they no longer wish to employ me.
I'm sorry, ma'am. What's more, I believe you've kept your word to us concerning Arthur. I sympathize with you in your predicament.
Oh, well, my mother knew how fickle fortune could be to us gypsies. One of the greatest that ever lived warned her of that.
Miss Gower will also feel extremely sorry.
Yes, Keane once warned mother of that.
Keane? Which Keane?
Edmund Keane. My mother acted with Keane when she was a girl.
With Keane? With Keane?
Yes.
Oh, my dear. I've seen Edmund Keane.
You did?
Well, a young man I was then. Impulsive, excitable. Quite different from the man I am now. Keane. Ah, he was a splendid gypsy. I may have seen your mother also. Oh, I was something different in those days. Keane, eh? Oh, I remember him as if it were last night. I remember. My dear, your prospects in life have been injured by your unhappy acquaintanceship with my grandson.
And Arthur. What of poor Arthur's prospects in life? Oh, if only I knew where he was.
Miss Trelawney, if you cannot act, you cannot earn your living.
How is he earning his living?
And if you cannot earn your living, you must be provided for.
Provided for?
Miss Gower was kind enough to bring me here in a cab. She and I will discuss plans for making provision for you while driving home.
Oh, I beg you will do no such thing. I cannot accept help from you or Miss Gower.
Mm? You must. You shall.
I will not.
I shall not leave this house until you agree. Think it over, my dear, while I sit here by the window.
But Sir William...
Think it over, child. Do not be hasty.
I found it at the bottom of my skip, deeper than did ever plummet sand. Where's Jenny? Is she not back yet?
Found it? Jenny? Well, has she been here?
Tom. Oh, Tom. Old Mr. Morphew.
Well, isn't he willing, Jenny?
I don't know. He's dead.
No.
3 weeks ago. Oh, what a chance he's missed.
Well, what is it, Tom? Imogen, what is it?
We shall lose it, of course.
Oh, the opportunity. Her opportunity. My opportunity. Your opportunity, Rose.
My opportunity? What are you talking about?
Yes, Jenny has a theatre, could have one, has 500 towards it put down by a man who believes in my play, my comedy, God bless him.
Oh, Tom! Oh, Imogen.
Oh, my dear. 500. We want another 5 at least, or 8.
And you're to play the part of Dora, isn't she, Jenny? Wasn't she?
Oh, certainly. She's just the simple little miss you could play now, Rose. And we thought that old Mr. Morphew would help us in the speculation. Speculation of the dead certainty.
Poor Morphew. Dead certainty is right.
Oh, Jenny. Oh, Tom.
Oh, Rose. Oh, Dora.
Pardon me.
Oh.
What?
I have been a party, it appears, to a consultation upon a matter of business. Do I understand, sir, that you have been defeated in some project which would have served the interests of Miss Trelawney?
Yes, sir.
Well, Mr...
Wrench, sir. Tom Wrench is my name.
Well, Mr. Wrench, it would give me pleasure. It would give my grandson, Mr. Arthur Gower, pleasure to be able to aid Miss Trelawney at the present moment.
Sir William, would you like to hear my play, sir?
So you think I might be induced to fill the office you designed for the late Mr. Morphew? Was that the name?
No, sir.
No?
Oh, he means yes.
I mean yes.
Read your play, sir. Now sit down. Sit down, all of you.
William! Oh, William, what has become of you? Has anything dreadful happened?
Now sit down, Trafalgar. This gentleman is about to read us a comedy. A chair. Are there no chairs here?
Here's a chair, madam.
William.
Sit down.
Is this quite all?
Yes, Trafalgar, quite in place, quite in order. Now, sir, before you begin, are there no other gypsies in the house?
Oh, yes, sir, a few.
This could well concern them, too.
I'll call them. Oh, well, there you are.
What is it?
Is there anything wrong, Will?
Come in and sit down. Sit down and be silent.
What is it all about, Rose Dazzle?
You'll find out. You'll find out.
Sit down, ma'am. Now, Mr. Wrench, kindly proceed.
Life. A comedy by Thomas Wrench. The scene of the first act is set in the garden of Lord Paracourt's residence.
Are you there, Violet? I bow with this dim light on the stage. I cannot be sure.
Jane.
Ah.
Here I am, over here. Is the reading finished?
Almost. My path confined to the latter half of the second act. So being near the door, I stole away.
The part offers, you know, opportunity, Jane.
It's a mere fragment. And what do you think the characters describe as?
What?
An old, stagey, out-of-date actor.
Well, will you be able to get near it, James?
I dare say. But what have they called you for if you're not in the play? They haven't dared suggest understudy, have they?
They don't ask me to play at all, James. Miss Parrott offers me the position of wardrobe mistress.
Violet, come. Let us both go.
No. Let us remain. We've been idle 6 months, and I can't bear to see you without your watch and all your comforts about you.
I should you. Brush your mouth, my dear. Come on.
I know, my dear.
Mr. Wrench, I congratulate you. Your pale do, sir. It'll take the town, mark me.
Thank you, O'Dwyer.
Perhaps you'll hand out the copies, Mr. O'Dwyer.
Why, certainly, Miss Barrett, and then we can make a start. Mr. Danzel.
Thank you.
Miss Brewster.
Thank you. Mr. Selber, how nice
of
you.
Oh, Mr. Honston.
Why ever didn't you sit near me?
Mr.
Fancy our being together again, Mrs. Telfer. And in the West End, too. Do you like the play?
Like it, Miss Trelawney? There's not a speech in it, my dear. Not a real speech. Nothing to get your teeth into. Still, your part's all right. Tell me, your lover in the play. Which of these young sparks plays your lover, Harold or Gerald?
Gerald? I don't know. There are some people not here today, I believe.
Mr. Telfer?
No. Telfer.
Oh, Mr. Telfer. Your copy of the play, sir.
That's you, James.
Thank you, my man.
I hope the little part of Poggs appeals to you, Mr. Telfer. It's only a sketch, of course. But, well, there was nothing else quite in your line.
Nothing? So who shares the hurl fall?
Oh, Mr. Denzel plays Lord Paracourt.
Denzel? Never heard of him. Should you get to my scene today, be so kind as to have me called. I shall be outside in the street.
Oh, thank heaven. I was afraid James would break out.
But you, dear Mrs. Telfer, you weren't at the reading. What are you cast for?
I am the wardrobe mistress of this theater.
You?
Oh, shame. Miss Trelawney. Rose, my child. If we are set to scrub a floor, and we may come to that yet, Let us make up our minds to scrub it legitimately and with dignity. Excuse me now, dear. I think I should go and see if James is all right.
I'll come to the door with you.
I say, Mr. Denzel, who plays Gerald?
Gerald?
The man I have my scene with in the third act, the hero.
Oh, a young gentleman from the country, I understand.
Well, whoever he is, if he can't play that scene with me decently, my part's not worth rap.
Right, everyone. Shall we make a start, Miss Parrott?
By all means, Mr. Wren.
We'll begin, O'Dwyer.
Clear the stage there. Come along. No, let's have the stage clear. Clear the stage.
Now, let me see. We shall want another chair there.
Another chair?
Yes, a garden chair.
Oh, a garden chair it is. I'll go and see property right away. Now then, my lad, don't you know you're not allowed on the stage without my permission? Here, what have you there now? A guard?
Give it to me, O'Dwyer. Oh.
Who?
It's Sir William.
Oh, what can he want? What can we do?
Bring the gentleman in, O'Dwyer. Make yourself scarce for a few moments. We have some private business.
All right. I have plenty to occupy me. I'll be having a word or two to say that to that cowboy.
We can't see Sir William here.
Why not? The boy can't possibly get here yet. Besides, we must sooner or later accept responsibility for our act.
Oh, Tom. What if Sir William should withdraw his capital?
Oh, heaven forbid. Ah, here he comes.
How do you do, Sir William? These are... odd surroundings to find yourself in. You know Miss Parrott, don't you?
Good morning, ma'am.
Oh, this is perfectly delightful.
What is?
Your visit.
Won't you sit down, sir?
Thank you. Much obliged. You are astonished at seeing me here, I dare say.
Not at all.
I was addressing the lady. You are surprised to see me?
Very.
The truth is, I am beginning to regret my association with you.
Oh, Sir William, you don't propose to withdraw your capital.
That would be a breach of faith, ma'am. No, the truth is, I have been slightly indisposed since I made your acquaintance at Clerkenwell. I find myself unable to sleep at night. That comedy of yours, Mr. Wrench, buzzes continually in my head.
Oh, it was written with such an intention, Sir William, to buzz in people's heads.
I'll take care you don't read me another, sir. At any rate, another which contains a character resembling a member of my family, a late member of my family. I don't relish being reminded of late members of my family in this way. And being kept awake at night, thinking, turning over in my mind.
Of course not.
When I saw Keane as Richard, he reminded me of no member of my family. Shakespeare knew better than that, Mr. Wrench.
Oh, but...
And so, ma'am, upon receiving your letter last night, acquainting me of your intention to commence rehearsing your comedy, or his comedy...
Our comedy?
Quite. Today at noon, I determined to present myself here and request to be allowed to...
To watch a rehearsal?
The rehearsal of these episodes in your comedy, which remind me of a member of my family. A late member.
Why, certainly.
By all means.
I have no wish to be influenced by any of your... What do you call them? Your gypsy crew?
Our ladies and gentlemen of the company.
Yeah. Anyway, put me in a curtain box where I can hear and see and not be seen. And when I've heard and seen enough, I shall return home and obtain a little sleep. And tomorrow, perhaps, I shall be well enough to sit in court again.
And if you are pleased with what you see this morning, perhaps you will attend another day.
Not I. After today, I wash my hands of you. What do plays and players mean coming into my head, disturbing my repose? And now, oblige me with your arm. Take me to my box.
Oh, this way, Sir William. Everybody ready to start? Call Miss Trelawney.
Miss Trelawney, come along now, please. We're waiting to begin. Ah, now then, let's see. At the opening of the play, Peggy and Dora are discovered. Where's Peggy? Miss Parrott.
Here I am. I'm Peggy, that's right.
Ah, Peggy is seated upon the right. Ah, see. And Dora on the left. Now then, when the curtain rises... Ah, Mr. Wrench, you're back. I've got it going smooth as far as there.
Ah, thank you. Good. Now, Jenny, you're reading. Rose, you're working.
Working?
Yes, yes, make a note. I shall want a work basket with needles and wool.
Oh, yes.
Right, Rose. Now, you've allowed the ball of wool to roll from your lap to the grass. Yes, that's it. Now, the curtain rises. Carry on, Miss Parrott.
What do I say?
Nothing. You yawn. Rose, you speak.
What are you reading, Miss Chapin?
A novel.
What is the name of it?
The season.
Why is it called that?
Because all the people in it do seasonable things.
For instance?
In spring, they fall in love.
In the summer?
Become engaged. Delightful.
Autumn?
Marry. Heavenly.
Winter?
Quarrel.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Now, close the book with a bang. Good. Now rise. And walk about discontentedly.
Oh, I've nothing to do. Let's tell each other our ages.
I am 19.
You whisper, Imogen.
I am 22.
Hadn't you better make that 26, Mr. Rank?
Carry on, Rose. That's your cue.
I shall think and feel the same when I'm 22. I'm sure I shall never wish to marry.
Mr. Denzel.
Sorry. Miss Peggy.
Rise, Miss Trelawney.
Your bravura has just arrived from London. Lady McCarthy wishes you to try it over.
Delighted, Lord Faracourt. Miss Harrington, bring your work indoors and hear me squall.
That's right. Off you both go. Carry on, Rose.
Why do Miss Chaffinch and her girlfriends talk of nothing, think of nothing but marriage? Ought a woman to make marriage the great object of life? Can there be no other? I wonder.
That's right. Dora goes off. Now, the piano is heard and Peggy's voice singing. Gerald enters. Well, here is Mr. Gordon.
Mr. Wrench, forgive me if I'm late. As it is, my cab horse galloped from the station.
We had just got to your first entrance. Have you read the part over?
I know every word of it. It's made my journey from Bristol like a flight through air. Why, Mr. Wrench, some of it is almost me.
Good. Well, you'd best get on the stage. You can get up on those steps. Right. Good. Now, you enter there.
Here?
Yes, that's it. Stroll on looking about you. Now, Mr. Gordon.
A pretty place. I'm glad I left the carriage at the lodge and walked through the grounds.
Oh, heavens, Tom.
That's fine. Go on, Mr. Gordon.
Somebody's singing. A girl's voice. Lord Paracord made no mention of any lady but his hostess, the dry Scots widow. This ball of wool. This will be Lady McCarchy's, I'll be bound. The very colour suggests spectacles and iron grey hair.
Dora returns. Dora!
Dora, where are you now?
Oh, when she came off after her scene with Peggy, she went straight to the green room.
Dora!
I'm sorry!
Go on, please.
Rose!
Go on, Mr. Gordon.
I beg your pardon. Are you looking for this wool?
Yes, I... Oh, Arthur. Why are you here?
Don't you know?
No.
Why, Miss Trelawney, I'm trying to be what you are.
What I am?
Yes. A gypsy.
A gypsy? Oh, Arthur.
Arthur!
Grandfather! You too?
No, no, no unauthorized persons are allowed
to... Leave the stage, O'Dwyer.
Margaret, what's going on? What is this?
You and Rose are the last persons I expected to find here.
Nonsense.
Perhaps you both had already learned from Mr. Wrench or Miss Parrott that I have become a gypsy, sir.
Not I. These people have thought it proper for me to make the discovery for myself.
Sir William, the secret of the choice of your grandson's profession...
Profession?
The secret was one I was pledged to keep as long as it was possible to do so. And pray remember that your attendance here is entirely your own act.
Where is the door? Away to the door!
And let me beg you to understand this, Sir William, that Miss Trelawney was until a moment ago as ignorant as yourself of Mr. Arthur Gower's doings or his whereabouts. She would never have thrown herself in this way, in this manner. Whatever conspiracy there was...
Conspiracy, an act.
Whatever conspiracy there was has been my own doing. To bring these two young people together again and make them happy.
The door, I say. The door.
Grandfather, may I, when rehearsal is over, venture to call in Cavendish Square?
Call, sir?
Just to see Aunt Trafalgar, sir. I hope Aunt Trafalgar is well, sir.
Your great Aunt Trafalgar? Oh, yes. I suppose she will consent to see you.
Ah, thank you, sir.
But I shall be out. I shall not be within doors.
Then, if Aunt Trafalgar will receive me, sir, do you think I may be allowed to bring Miss Trelawney with me?
What, sir? I perceive you already acquired the impudence of your vagabond calling.
Forgive him.
Oh, Sir William, why may not Arthur become someday a splendid gypsy?
Like,
don't you remember? They were your words.
Yes, sir. A gypsy of a different order from the old order, which is departing. A gypsy from the new school.
Miss Gower is a weak, foolish lady, Miss Trelawney. For all I know, she may well allow this young man to take you to call upon her.
I would accompany Rose, of course, Sir William.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll now go to my carriage. Have it called up.
Sir, if you have the carriage here, and if you have the patience to sit out the rest of the rehearsal, we might return to Cavendish Square with you.
Patience? Well, of course, I've got the patience. Let the rehearsal be resumed. I'll find my own way back to the box.
Thank you, Sir William.
Yes, go on with the rehearsal by all means. I want to see what sort of a pair of gypsies they make. This Mr. Arthur Gordon and this Miss Trelawney. This Trelawney of the world.
Oh, Arthur, did you hear what he called me? Everything's going to be all right. Oh, Arthur, my dearest.
Oh, Rose, my love.
Trelawney of the Wells by A.W. Pinero was adapted for radio by Philip Garston Jones. The cast was as follows. Rose Trelawney, Pauline Jameson. Arthur Gower, Peter Billingsley. Tom, Hugh Manning. Imogen, Eileen Barry. Avonia, Valerie Hanson. Sir William Gower, David Bird. Miss Trafalgar Gower, Elma Verity. Other parts were played by Megan Latimer, Frank Veazey, Peter Bartlett, Arthur R. Webb, Philip Garston Jones, Gwen Muspratt, Izan Churchman, Brian Kent, Iris Leslie, Max Milladin, and Alan Devereux. The recorded production was by Hugh Stewart in the BBC's Midland Studios.